What's up, everyone, and welcome to Roots of Humanity, a podcast that celebrates the beautiful people and culture of our world. My name is Drew Binsky. I'm a world traveler and content creator who has spent the past 12 years traveling to all 197 countries in the world. In episode 27 of Roots of Humanity, I talked to my travel agent, G, about his Swiss roots and how to globetrot like a pro. After visiting every country in the world and continuing to travel to non-traditional destinations like West Papua, where I was last week, I've always needed someone to score the best flight routes and hotel deals that most people wouldn't know about. That is all to say that G's experience is top level. But what about Switzerland, one of the most beautiful countries in the entire world? Most people think it's extremely wealthy, and of course it is, but G helps me understand that the high wages correlate with the high cost of living, with simple food items going for 3 times the price as in the United States. So when you do the math, things start to really match up.
When you compare to other places, sometimes it's just different order of magnitude, but at the end of the month, it's not that much difference.
What is it about this seemingly perfect country that makes it one of the best in Europe and the world? For starters, it's a melting pot, just like fondue, the famous cheesy dish that is found in Switzerland. G fills me in about the neighboring countries that influence Switzerland, from the Italian-speaking city of Lugano to the German city of Lucerne, both of which I was lucky enough to visit on my last Euro trip last summer. Tune in to hear our thoughts on Swiss cuisine and chocolate and how to make it as a traveler and a citizen in one of the most desirable places on planet Earth. Thanks for tuning in, and let's get into it. G, what's going on, bro?
Doing good. What about you?
I am great. I'm here in Prague. I think you're back in Switzerland, right?
Yeah, definitely. Just got back from a couple of days by the beach. Yeah, just getting back to a lot of work.
You're looking extra crispy right now. You look like you were like a triple well-done steak.
Yeah, but I think sometimes it's, it's just good to spend a few days on away from everything and just relax and enjoy some sunshine as much as we can.
That's awesome, bro. I want to chat a little bit about your lovely, beautiful, seemingly perfect country. I don't know if you would agree that it's perfect or not. You probably won't because you're Swiss. But to the outside world, Switzerland is absolutely perfect and beautiful. So let's dive in. Are you born and raised in Switzerland?
Yeah, born and raised in Geneva. But then I got the opportunity to re-travel all around the world and did not really stop since I started.
But you've never like lived anywhere else besides Switzerland?
Yeah, I mean, I used to live in Iceland for a while, and I spent quite a good amount of time also in the US. Once I actually spent almost, I mean, I was just like a couple of days away from having more than the 180 something days that you need before you have to file for taxes. So, almost 6 months in the States. So, I mean, of course, over the grand scheme of things, it's not that much. But yeah, I mean, I've been traveling and really looking at, I've been seeing a lot of other cultures and countries and really trying to make the most out of it and see really the difference between the cultures that we, I mean, my Swiss background and how people react and how people behave and what they discover in other countries.
What does being Swiss mean to you?
That's a very good question, and the thing is, I'm not really sure. I mean, it's the thing is, in Switzerland, we're a big melting pot of different places, mentalities, and where I live in Geneva is actually doesn't really count that much as, or I mean, not as much as being Swiss as in most of the rest of the country, as we have a lot of international organizations and basically people coming from all over the world. There's more influence from other countries than the rest of Switzerland, but that's a pretty tricky question.
Are you proud?
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, I'd say it would be linked to the ability to travel to travel all around the world. There's always this image of Swiss being wealthy or rich or whatever you call it. And I remember a couple of years ago, I went to the Maldives with my wife. That was actually for our honeymoon. And there on the beach, we met a couple who were coming from the south of France. And as soon as they realized we're Swiss, they started asking some questions about basically what, how much it's, what are the prices and what are the salaries and so on in Switzerland. And especially one of them was a fireman, and she was a nurse, and they asked her about, they asked us really about the wages for firemen and nurses in the area. And so, or at least in Geneva. And so we quickly told them exactly how much it was. And they were like, whoa, that's crazy. I mean, it's about like five times, six times what we're making. So we should move. We should probably think about moving immediately. And then I said, we told them, okay, hold on. Let's just compare everything. And not only the income, but also how much everything costs here. And so we asked them how what was the price for the rent. And for a two-bedroom apartment, they were paying like something like 700 euros or something like this. To which we told them, you know what? I mean, we paid three times the price for the same thing in Switzerland. And then we started re-comparing. So the taxes, the prices of food. I mean, you came to Switzerland not long ago, and I know that you have some a video coming up about it, but when you compare with prices of food, prices of everything like renting a car or having a car or public transportation and everything, basically we started really just going through our monthly budgets, and at the end of the month we're about $100. There was about $100-$150 difference between them and us, but obviously they were earning a lot less, but then the expense were a lot less. And then when we compare, so there is this image of Switzerland of being really, really wealthy and Swiss people being really rich, but it's not always the case. And when you compare to other places, sometimes it's just different order of magnitude, but at the end of the month, it's not that much difference.
I have the answer. Well, basically, you have to live in France and then just drive to Switzerland to work and go back to France.
Yeah, but then you need to be ready to do maybe an hour or two in your car every day, and because commuting is a pain, and then basically there's a lot of traffic where people. I mean, there are a lot of people who do this, but then traffic at the border every day is just a pain. I mean, some time ago I was working in a company which was in Lausanne, so about an hour drive from here, and one of my colleagues actually was coming from France. And he was going through two mountain passes every single day to go to work. So that's about an hour and a half drive or 2 hour drive one way, and then the same thing on the way back in the evening.
Something that's really cool about Switzerland is, you know, I was just there a few months ago, and my video in 2 days is coming out from how fast can I spend $1,000 in Switzerland. I went to Lugano, which is so beautiful, and it's so Italian. It is so Italian that it's like, if you just close your eyes in Northern Italy or in anywhere in Italy and you open your eyes in Switzerland, there's no sign that you're in Switzerland unless you see a flag. It's that the people act like Italians. They speak Italian. Maybe the food is slightly different. And then you drive to the German part and it's different. And you drive to the French part and it's different. Like, that's cool. Do you know the history behind how that came to be without boring us with a huge history lesson? Like, how did that happen?
Basically, it started as a couple of villages who were under attack from other castles all around, and they decided, okay, maybe we could try just to get together and make a pact that we're going to help each other if anyone is attacking us. And it really started like this in the center of Switzerland. It's actually close to where you were, where you've been, so close to Lucerne, and from that that place. Then eventually it grew, and so they added some extra villages, extra places, and it came into, and these places became cantons, so some kind of smaller states, areas, or whatever. And then adding. The thing is, we're close to Germany, we're close to Italy, we're close to France, and so there was always this influence from the neighbors. And so eventually some places decided, okay, I'd rather just connect with Switzerland than with the other place, even though we don't really speak the same language. And eventually you get to a place where we have four official languages, and we actually use a fifth one, which is English, to understand each other.
What are the four?
So that would be French, German, Italian, and then Rumänsch, which is spoken by only a handful of people, mostly in the eastern part of Switzerland. And it sounds roughly like a mix between German and Italian.
But it's its own language? I never heard of that.
Yeah, it's called Rätoromansch. It's a national language, so meaning that it's recognized as being a language of the country. But still, it's not an official language, meaning that not all laws and not all documents have to be translated in that language. But then, if you look at my driver's license or my passport or something, basically it's written on it. It's in five languages, which is in so German, French, Italian, Romansh, and also English.
Do you know Romansh?
Absolutely not.
Like zero?
Yeah, like zero. But I mean, you could probably find easily some good content on it. But yeah, I mean, it's so different than I don't know much about it.
Is there like one village or one place where everybody speaks that language?
Yeah, all in the Grishun region, which is basically the east of Switzerland. That's where they speak that language, and most, if not all, of the speakers of that language are in that region, which is actually south of south of Liechtenstein. So that's that mountainous region.
Oh, Bad Ragaz?
Yeah, Bad Ragaz is in the
region. Yeah. So they speak that language.
Yeah, they speak German and Romansh. Yeah. That's the funny thing is that to understand each other, then we have to try to figure out ways. We have to learn different languages. We have to find ways to also understand that we don't all think the same. The mentality between, let's say, Zurich and Geneva is not that different because these are big cities. But then if you compare, you said Bad Ragaz and maybe, I don't know, Bern, or Bad Ragaz and Locarno, it could be a bit different, even though it's the same country, it's close by. There are some differences on the way on the mentality and the way we see things, but that makes it for quite an interesting country in the sense that we're always trying to find ways to accommodate the differences.
Let me put that in basic American terms. What you just said. People act differently around Switzerland. When you go to the German-speaking region, they're very punctual. They're always on time. They act like Germans. When you go to the Italian part, they're louder. They're careless. They don't care. I mean, it's okay. The example is we're traveling with my dog, right? Remember we talked about this? In the hotels in the Italian part, they were fine. They're like, yeah, whatever. When you go to the German part, they were like so strict about the dog in the hotel. Like, that's a perfect example. The German Swiss are very rule followers, like Germans. But when you go to the Italian part, they're just like, yeah, let's smoke a cigarette. Let's just relax. I still think it's so fascinating, man. It's hard. It's so normal for you because you're from Switzerland. But that would be like me being in Prague and then driving to a region in the Czech Republic where everybody's speaking Polish in the Czech Republic. What other countries in the world, and you would know this more than anyone, are like that, where you have like a population speaking? I guess Canada would be one. You have French and English speaking people, but not really, because France is not a neighboring country. So it's not really the same.
That's a tricky question. Well, I mean, speaking multiple languages per se is not that that abnormal. I mean, you've seen me. I mean, you have so many countries where there might be like one official language and then a couple more, or maybe two official languages and then a lot more that might be spoken on the side. But then with as many differences and different mentalities, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't see any other right now. But I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just saying that I don't see which one would be similar in that sense.
It's pretty cool, man. So I guess because you have this like mix of cultures that reflects in the cuisine, right? So you have all kinds of food inspired by France, Italy, Germany. So I guess, I mean, talking about like cheese, like fine wine, fine cheeses, fine chocolate, that's all really famous. But what are some of the notable foods that you like in Switzerland or that you recommend?
So it depends what you like. Obviously, you said, as you said, there's everything. I mean, we have all this influence from all the different countries. One thing that when you're Switzerland, you have to try is, and actually, last time we met in Switzerland, you actually, I got you to try it, is a cheese fondue. So it's melted cheese that you share, which is pretty unique. One of the main options for Switzerland would be definitely going around cheese. And then there's another very, Swiss specialty, which is the rösti, which is just like some kind of special potatoes, some kind of potato dish, and which is actually quite interesting because the line that divides Switzerland between the German speaking part and the French speaking part, we call it the Röstigraben, which is the border of rösti. So basically, on one end, on the German speaking part, they eat a lot of these, and on the French speaking part, we don't eat that much of it, or I mean, historically at least. And that's a way that we use to kind of differentiate between both sides. Yeah, I mean that's something. Yeah, next time you're in Switzerland, if you haven't tried it, you should retry it. And then there are some amazing specialties, like so many small places, small restaurants, small delis who can just who have some very good things to eat. And yeah, I mean I'd say Switzerland is a very nice place if you like to eat. Also, again, getting back to what we said at the beginning, it can be also a bit expensive, the food, but usually pretty good.
Two notes I want to make. One, that fondue place was so good, and I can still smell that restaurant right now. If I close my eyes, I can just think of the smell when you walk in that door. I guess the people that work there their shirts must smell of that like all day long, the fondue smell.
Definitely. That's the thing is that when you see a picture of fondue or something, you have no idea on how it smells. And yeah, that's a smell that really sticks to you, and basically after having
It
dinner
was
there, you
good
just
though.
basically need to do a patch of laundry.
Secondly, on the note of Switzerland being expensive, so in my video, the challenge was I'm going to be a normal tourist. I'm going to do normal touristy things. How fast can I spend $1,000? The answer was 18 hours, and that was between gasoline, two gasoline or one gasoline fill up, a hotel in Lucerne, which was 300 something dollars. Then it was like beer and hot dogs and the parking pass, which was $40, parking tickets around the cities, which was $10, $15, $10 each time. It was a sandwich meal in Lugano, which was $100. And I bought a pair of shoes, which I bought like a regular pair of like Adidas running shoes. They're here somewhere. And I swear to God, at home, these would be like between 120 and 150, and they were 220 here. Maybe I just got like the top of the line one, but it should not have been that expensive. And there you go. Everything I just told you was $1,000. So that I think I'll get a kick out of that video, honestly.
Couple of things you could save, obviously, and then especially also one thing is as you are a foreigner, you can actually claim the tax some of the taxes back on your spending. But yeah, I mean that's why a lot of people I know actually fly to the US to do some shopping. Basically, I mean flying from Geneva to New York and back, I mean pre-pandemic was, I mean, you could find flights for like $400, $300 round trip. So I know people who could just go to New York for the weekend, and they do some shopping there. Just buy some clothes, buy some stuff, and you save a lot of money on the way, and you spend the weekend in New York. Obviously, right now, I mean, some of these prices are a bit more difficult to get, but there's still some good options. And then again, also with as a lot of people are trying, I mean, getting concerned about global warming and the pollution, yeah, going to New York for the weekend might not be always the wisest idea, but there are ways to, yeah. I mean, the other option obviously would just go across the border to Germany, to Italy, to France, and do some shopping there, because we can also save quite a lot.
It must be nice to travel as a Swiss person because almost everything is cheaper in the world, unless you go to Norway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, basically, yeah, most of the things are cheaper. I mean, as I said earlier, I mean, I used to live in Iceland, and there also, I mean, as you had to, I mean, as a lot of things need to be imported, basically, it's gonna, yeah, it's a lot of things were actually more expensive than here, or at least back when I was there. I mean, right now, I mean, yeah. Prices are also flattening a bit on some products. So yeah, I mean, there's always ways to either just yeah, there are always ways to find ways to save money wherever you go. and even in Switzerland. But it's sometimes it comes at a price of your time or some more effort or something like this. But sometimes it might be worth it.
You're a travel wizard, man. We've been working together for, I want to say, around 2 years. I met you through Thomas, my good friend Thomas from Yes Theory. I think you've been working with them not too long before that. You reached out to them offering your travel help or whatever. I also love geography and love talking about worlds and maps and currencies, exchanges and everything. And you are all the above. Like, where did that start?
That's a good question. Basically, I always liked, discovering new places and new cultures. And I always had also this passion for aviation, for flying. And I got my private pilot license when I was 18, but I actually was allowed to fly by myself and alone before I was allowed to drive a car, even with someone.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, because I realized that seeing the world from above just gives another perspective. And then from that point on, it really just grew upon me. And I have a background as a software engineer. And after my studies, I started working for an American company where I was doing some customer support on some of the largest video surveillance systems in the world. So we're talking about the subway in Paris, subway in New York, some casinos in Vegas, and other crazy places like this. So I was basically, so when I was working with this company, I was just traveling about 80% of my time. So when the customers had a technical issue, they had like local team of support and then a regional team of support. And when these guys couldn't help, basically my phone was ringing. And I was just having to check who from me or my team were to fly there, because these were all video surveillance systems, so highly secure systems you could not access from remotely. So basically we had to go there. So I got to, thanks to this job, I got to really travel all around the world for a couple of years, which was amazing, especially when you're 25 and you're 30s, and when you're single, it's just a great way to discover the world. And then eventually things happened and I decided just wanted to settle down for a bit in Switzerland, and that's it. But that was quite an interesting opportunity. The issue I had is the company was only paying for coach, even when I was going from one continent to the other, like every other week. And yeah, I mean, you know, I'm quite tall, I'm 1.96 meters. That's 6'5". And basically the idea is that I realized that traveling like this was super tiring. And I said, okay, how could I, as a good engineer, find ways to make my travel better? And that's how I really got into travel optimization and making first my trips better, and then had some friends and family asking me for help. And then the rest is history.
Now it's a business.
Now I turn it into a business, yeah.
Yeah, now you help myself, Yes Theory, other content creators primarily. Those are your biggest customers, right?
Exactly. I mean, there are a couple of other companies which are more, let's put it this way, typical, where it's just like a typical flights or travel, and it's sometimes a bit simpler. But then, what I like working with content creators is the flexibility and all the kind of fun ideas that needs to come out of a travel.
I always told you this, but if we were together when I was finishing every country, your mind would have been blown by the flights that you would have been booking me. Bro, Central African Republic, Eritrea, Vanuatu, like Kiribati, every single country that you've seen, that you've heard of, and you're like, wow. I think I would have set the record for the most obscure bookings. But unfortunately, we started working together like when I finished the countries. Or no, I hadn't finished yet, but I was like almost finished. And my last 2 years of travel have been extremely boring compared to the previous 5 years. And so I'm really itching to start taking some, like I have Chad and Papua New Guinea on my radar for the next few months. So I hope I don't know when's the last time you booked a flight to Djamena, but I'm guessing never.
As far as I mean, I could check in my files, but as far as I remember, it should be about a year and a half ago. Or I mean, they were just no, I mean, about 2 years ago, just before the pandemic. My first customer when I really started going full time into this travel business was a company who is organizing startup competitions all around the world, but they do it in developing countries. So they're not looking for flights, let's say, from Paris to New York, but they're looking more for flights from Maputo to Denpasar or to Kathmandu or places like this, and making it a lot more, some kind of very obscure places and destinations.
Hey, you know what's a good video? We should have a contest where we have like an empty map and someone just names a country or a capital and we have to place it on the map. Me versus you. I think that'd be a good match.
Could be fun, yeah. Could be fun. You might actually win on some of the countries, especially for the cities. But you might win on some of the places. And another thing we could do, I sent you a video the other day of this guy who were trying to circumnavigate the world in as quickly as possible with the smallest budget. Could be kind of fun to do something similar, but maybe add some other twist to it. Like making
but the
sure
thing
that
is,
we hit.
I don't want to just sit on airplanes and airports. I want to do something in each place.
Exactly. That's what I said. Is it basically add a twist to it so that we should at least hit every continent, and then on each of these continents do something which is typical to that place or which is not typical to that place or something like this.
I really want to go to Alert Canada. So let's start getting the ball rolling. I know it's hard. Alert, northernmost settlement in the world.
Exactly, like that's a tricky one because as we talked about already, I mean the big issue with this place is the fact that it's a military base, so getting access to it is a bit tricky, and then they don't have flights very often, and the flights are managed by the Canadian military. So I mean, people have done it, so it's feasible. So if you and I cannot do it, I'm not sure who can do it.
I like that. I would love to go with you. Obviously, it's easier for me.
That's also a challenge for you, for your audience. Is that okay? If we cannot do it, I mean, not many people can do it. So yeah, show us that you could do it.
I like it, man. I'm very interested to travel more of Canada. I'm going to Montreal next month for the first time for Deanna's birthday. I could easily get to Toronto or wherever to fly up north. Where would it fly? Where does a plane fly from to Alert?
I think they fly from close to Toronto. Yeah, they manage from one of the air bases.
It's probably like a 8-hour flight.
The big thing is it's actually in some military planes. Let me check. That was called the Operation Buckstop. So they use the cargo aircraft from the military, and they fly from where is it?
While you're looking that up, I'm going to say something. So just so people can understand how helpful G is, he's literally like my second brain. Any situation, like, hey, I need to get from here to here, he's able to hack first class. I got Star Alliance Gold on Scandinavian Airlines, which is used all over the world. Marriott, he gets me like $200 off hotel. Like, this guy, I've never met more of a travel hacking wizard. And I just want to thank you for all the hard work that you've done. I know it's fun for you, which is awesome. It's a great partnership. But, man, everybody needs a G in their life.
Thanks. So yeah, so they're basically leaving, from what I understand, from the Trenton Air Force Base, which is close to, it's between Toronto and Montreal. They fly from there, then they might stop also in Thule in Greenland, and then they continue to Alert.
It stops in Greenland?
Yeah.
That's cool. To refuel?
From what I understand, let's see. So Trenton.
That's super cool. I want to go to Nuuk. Is it hard to get there? You just fly from Copenhagen, right? To Nuuk.
To Nuuk it's super easy. I mean, you fly from Copenhagen and it's a direct flight. It's very super straightforward. Then there might be some other places which are a bit more complex to reach. Yeah, when I went to Greenland, it's actually that was when I was living in Iceland, so I flew directly. There was a direct flight, but then we had to take a helicopter to the place we were looking for, and pretty fun adventure. I kind of like also these kind of crazy adventures where you have to, not only just go from point A to point B, but really find crazy stops on the way and crazy routes to make it work.
Gee, this has been a really great chat, man. I know we could chat all day about travel, but Thanks for your expertise. Thanks for coming on the podcast. Thanks for sharing the love of your country. And I'm sure we'll talk again extremely soon about some of my upcoming trips. And hopefully I can see you in Alert Canada pretty soon.
Yeah, let's find a way to make this work. Cool. Hey, thanks a lot for having me. It was pretty fun. And let's make it work sometime, somewhere, and for something fun.
Absolutely, man.
Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast episode. If you feel inspired by this conversation, please share it with somebody who would enjoy listening. And if you're here for the first time, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget to leave a review. Every week, I'm going to be looking through them and highlighting my favorite one. And with that all being said, I will see you guys next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.